And the second hour getting going here on a Wednesday afternoon show live at Seasons Main Street, Bangor, our Quality Jewelers studios. Rich Kimble, Ryan Waning with you. Still to come this afternoon, Kyle Draper of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Alan Adams of The Main Edge. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe introduces his favorite summer song. And right now we kick off the 4 o'clock hour by talking Patriots as we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Ben Volan of the Boston Globe. Ben, good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just great, thanks. Patriots getting ready for preseason game number 3, and a really interesting piece you did on Tom Brady and how he's itching to play. And is there perhaps a little bit of tension developing between the quarterback and the coach?
I don't think it's too crazy to suggest that Brady is not fully on board with the way that Belichick has been giving a lot of the reps and a lot of attention to Jimmy Garoppolo. Not to say that it's been a majority of it, but it's been as close to 50-50, a split of practice snaps that I think Brady's ever seen in his 16 years with the Patriots. He hasn't played a snap in the preseason. He's dying to get out there. He admitted that he would have played with that thumb injury on Thursday night against the Bears if it were the regular season. I'm guessing he probably wanted to play even with it the other night. He's raring to go. And it's for Bill Belichick and the coaching staff, it's the Jimmy Garoppolo show right now. He's the one who needs the repetition, the work. Obviously, he's the great unknown. He's never played a regular season snap, a meaningful one before. So I think certainly Brady is upset about his suspension, and we all know how insanely competitive he is, and I'm not sure he's handling it 100% on board with everything that's going on. But we've seen this before with Brady, and I think ultimately he'll get over it, but I don't think he's too thrilled with the way things are going right now.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo talked about this a little bit today, and the whole idea of taking leadership of this team when number 12 is out there looking over your shoulder, that has to put him in a somewhat difficult spot.
Certainly, and I think that could be one reason why we saw Brady not at the stadium on Thursday night. Once he's not playing, you still don't want all the attention on Brady. Garoppolo throws an incompletion, and the camera pans to Brady, and you see Brady, smiling with whoever. Like, just get Tom out of the stadium, away from Jimmy, let Jimmy do his thing. That's certainly, we've seen that throughout history, trying to replace a legend. It's such a difficult situation for that person who's trying to fill in, and there are always going to be comparisons. So I think certainly there's certainly some aspect of you don't want Tom's shadow kind of being there for Jimmy. You want him to be his own man, and he has to walk a fine line. It has to be his team for 4 weeks, but, Tom Brady is not a guy you want to take on around here. It's still his team very much. So it's a precarious situation for Garoppolo.
Ben, it seemed like the Turk visited a bunch of people in the locker room last night. Cuts were handed out, and a lot of names on the list that might have been surprising. Which one surprised you the most?
Brian, I thought they would carry him through the end of camp, but otherwise, these were all veterans that really were just brought in case, injuries and so certain things didn't work out, but their depth has been mostly pretty good so far. And guys like E.J. Biggers and Nate Washington, none of that's too surprising. Frank Kearse, but even with Stork, I did a 53-man roster projection the other day, and I didn't have Stork on it. I had them keeping 9 offensive linemen, and, I think they drafted Ted Karras in the 6th round for a reason, and they brought in Jonathan Cooper from Arizona for a reason. It's because they want to upgrade the position. And Josh Klein has played pretty well at backup center and guard. And even with Shaq Mason's hand being broken and him being out for a few weeks, I just didn't see how Stork was going to fit in, given that he hasn't been too consistent on the practice field and in games. And obviously he has an injury and a concussion history. So, Stork, it's like a little surprising that they made the move now, but I'm not surprised to see that he didn't make the team this year.
We're talking Patriots with Ben Volan of the Boston Globe. Yesterday in your practice report that you posted online, you guys talked about DJ Foster seeing some time and being an intriguing possibility as a guy who could maybe step up and be considered at least to fill that Deion Lewis role.
Yeah, he's a guy that really needs to play against Carolina and then that 4th preseason game against the Giants. I think he's got potential. He is one of these like hybrid guys. He can be a third down running back. He can be a slot receiver, kind of a combo guy at Arizona State, but hasn't played much this preseason. He's been they've been managing his injuries and has not played a snap in a game yet, and they really need to get he needs to get out there and show what he can do. Otherwise, it's going to be hard for the Patriots to keep him on the 53 if he hasn't really played in the preseason. More likely, they would try to keep him on the practice squad or maybe give him a case of the Foxborough flu and put him on injured reserve for the year and stash him for next year. But he's certainly an intriguing name, and you know the running back battle is starting to whittle down now. They just got rid of Donald Brown. The guy who I think is on the fence is Tyler Gaffney. I think he's played really well. Had a really nice touchdown run and some good blitz pickup in that first game especially. But, you know, do they keep four running backs? Do they keep five? James Devlin, the fullback, he factors in there as well. So Tyler Gaffney is another guy I think really needs a big game on Thursday to kind of figure out the running back situation.
Who else can use that game as a springboard to getting a roster spot or maybe even a significant role on the club?
And probably Aaron Dobson. It's do or die time for him. He's got to make the team. His spot might be saved by Danny Amendola. It's looking more and more like Amendola might start the season on PUP, which would keep him out for 6 weeks. I mean, he hasn't been doing much around the facility right now. And if he goes on PUP, then that does open up a spot for someone else, and that's probably Dobson. But he doesn't play special teams, and they can always use the roster spot for someone versatile. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for them to only keep four receivers. They've done that in the past. So Aaron Dobson could use a nice performance. And then the young corners battling for a roster spot, guys like Cravon LeBlanc and Daryl Roberts, they're duking it out right now. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys play. And then you just want to see Garoppolo continue the positive momentum they had against Carolina, move the chains or, you know, feel the pressure and deliver the ball on time. Just the normal attributes that you'd expect from a starting quarterback. And, you know, still it's a preseason game. There's no game planning, but still a good opportunity for some of these guys to get good reps and win roster spots.
What's the future hold for Jabal Sheard, a guy who at times came up with some big plays for this team last year?
It doesn't sound like it's anything long-term or serious. I saw a report that it could be a sprained MCL, which is like 2 to 4 week injury, maybe 5 weeks. So he's still got 3 weeks to go until that Cardinals game. Might miss a game or two and then bring him back slowly. I would expect the same kind of with Ninkovic and Mokovic. They might have to kick injured guys on the 53-man roster to start the year, but it sounds like Sheard avoided disaster. And you know, we've seen him around the facility and he's back at practice, so I bet he plays sooner than later in the regular season.
Ben, before we let you go, we've been asking guests all month long to talk a little music with us and think of that one song that maybe it takes you back to your youth, that summer song that makes you want to roll down the car windows, turn up the radio, and sing along. Is there one that comes to mind for you?
This might sound kind of weird, but I'm a 90s child, so Loser by Beck is a song that I've heard 20,000 times, and it still makes me sing at the top of my lungs, so I'd have to say probably that one. That takes me back to being like, you know, 12 years old, discovering music. So that makes me sound like a 90s kid, I know.
No, there's nothing wrong. Hey, listen, I'm a 70s kid. I'd kill to be a 90s kid.
So, yeah, Loser by Beck. I love that song.
We'll be playing that for you next week then. Hey, Ben, thanks. Great talking with you, as always, and we look forward to doing it throughout the season.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
That's Ben Volen of the Boston Globe talking Patriots on Downtown.